Welcome to the Church of England weekly podcast. In this week's edition, the Reverend Dan Stork Banks speaks about TGI Monday, a brand new vlog looking at questions about the Christian faith.
I think the response has been primarily positive. We've had a lot of people coming up to us saying how useful they find the show, how they're tuning in every week.
Emma Buchan explains more about the Archbishop's call for a great wave of prayer for evangelism during Pentecost.
Throughout history, any movement of the Holy Spirit to draw increasing numbers to faith in Christ has always begun in prayer.
And Martha Wetherill, a first-year ordinand, talks about finding her calling and vocation.
After about 4 years or so, I found myself back in the church, and I loved the welcome that I received there.
TGI Monday seeks to be a safe place for anybody to ask questions on Christian faith. It's a weekly vlog that goes out via YouTube each Monday, and we spoke to one of its presenters, the Reverend Dan Stork Banks, all about the purpose behind the vlog. So Dan, TGI Monday, what is it? What are you all about? And what are you trying to do?
Thanks, Ben. Great question. What are we all about? We are an online mission. We are seeking to reach out to people who have very honest questions about Christianity and give them a safe space online where they can ask them. And we don't claim to give lots of answers, but what we do is we'll discuss the question and hopefully help people along their way to actually finding an answer that's helpful to them.
And in terms of who's watching, who gets in touch, maybe through comments or sending through emails, or maybe there's parts of the actual vlogs that you're asking people to get in touch, what have you found to be the response so far?
I think the response has been primarily positive. We've had a lot of people coming up to us saying how useful they find the show, how they're tuning in every week. We've had people stopping us and saying that we're now their church, which, you know, for some people that wouldn't be a good thing. But if you're kind of on the fringes of church, actually it's a helpful way for you to ease into it. Lots of people who are even non-Christians are tuning in, so that's really helpful too. We have had some negativity, but, you know, you get that. We're not a show that's going to scratch every itch, and certainly some people are not going to like what we're about. But I think for the most part, people who are regularly watching us are genuinely appreciating it.
And of course, it's not just yourself. You know, there's a group, a team of you who are doing it. Who else is involved?
We're a team of five. So you've got Ros Clark, Dr. Ros Clark. She's a theologian, and she's the Diocese of Lichfield online pastor. We have Hal Snook, who's a vicar in Christchurch in Drayton, which is part of the deanery that I'm in, and he's a former Cambridge geneticist, so he brings a really interesting perspective as well. Then we've got Reverend Zoe Hemming, who is a curate, who's a fellow curate in the deanery to me, and she is she's on General Synod, and she has a lot of what she does is campaigning for disability issues in ministry, and she's very passionate about that. And then finally, Simon Jones, who's our cameraman and the bishop's chaplain in the diocese, and he's very much part of the team as well. So you'll see on the show that it's not just us as a panel talking, but Simon talks as well. We're different from television. We're not trying to be like a cheesy 1990s daytime TV chat show. We're quite different to that, and the whole team has something to contribute.
I've been watching each of your episodes as they've been released, and you all seem very relaxed and at home. I've certainly felt drawn into the conversations you've had through that particular style. Was that intentional or something which developed more as you began filming?
Well, I mean, I think the answer to that is both. It was very, very intentional that you had that kind of you're with us type of feel. That's when I say that we're not television, that's exactly what I mean, that we are trying to be transparent. In fact, one of the big parts of what our show is about is complete transparency. So you feel that you can be as part of us as it is possible to be. But, you know, over time, we've found better ways of achieving that, particularly through our camera work. So we now have, I think we have about 6 or 7 cameras that we use. And what we're doing is we're not just filming us, but we're filming the entire set, so that there's nothing really that's not available for viewers to see. And it does feel more like you're on set with us than it would be if it was just a studio set up and you were just watching the television. So I hope people feel like that. I'm glad you feel like that, because it does mean that we're somewhat successful in that. As technology develops, I think the ability to have that kind of inclusivity and transparency is going to increase. So if you look at where the internet's going right now with virtual reality and the Oculus technology that's coming out, and 3D, obviously 3D that's very readily available, you're going to get more of a sense of being able to be part of something. But at the moment, you're still limited. So the best way we can achieve it is really through showing you as much of the set as possible and helping you to feel part of it.
Where did the initial idea come from, and what was it that either inspired you or another member of the team to kind of say, actually, this is something that we want to do and this is how we're going to do it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's always been a team effort and a team contribution, but I guess from my point of view, I was quite involved in online research through my MBA a few years ago. And then when I came into ministry, I noticed really that the Church of England and a lot of the church in general really wasn't engaging in digital space in the way that it could do. I mean, it was quite popular on Facebook, and there's a lot going on Twitter. But if you look at online video content, you've got YouTube with a billion users. You've got 300 hours of footage going up on YouTube every minute. 4 billion views a day of videos. And yet nothing in the church was really interrupting that. There was no real presence of the church. And so my sense was that actually the harvest was plentiful, but the labourers were few. And we could maybe bring something into that mission field that might be a positive experience for people. So the question then is, how do you do it? And one of the ways that other organisations have been moving into the digital video has been through questions and answer shows. So I've been watching, for example, the Ask Gary Vee show. It's a very popular one on the internet. And I noticed that format was very useful for the people who were asking him questions. So really, I just translated that into something that might work for the church. Everybody on the panel had some kind of... they were either involved online. So Hal Snook was he has his blog, the Silly Vicar blog, and that's very popular locally. Roz was employed as the online pastor for the Diocese of Lichfield, so she had an existing digital ministry she was involved in, and Zoe was becoming a really important voice in the area of disabilities and ministry, but she didn't have much of a platform. And so when we kind of all got to know each other, it seemed to make sense that the online world would be something that we all explore together. And certainly in the back of my mind, when we started to get to know each other, I thought, well, maybe this is something we could do together. But it wasn't something that was wildly pre-planned. It was something that just happened organically.
And in terms of kind of maybe reaching a milestone or a point in the ministry of TGI where you go, yes, we've got it, or we've achieved it, that's it there, is that something you're looking for, or is it much more about a journey and making a space for kind of conversation and community?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, what does success look like? That's always a hard question. It all depends upon what you're trying to achieve online, and certainly... what we're trying to achieve is to be a ministry to those who need us. So that could mean that if only 100 people out there find us really, really, helpful, then we've been successful if we've met the needs of 100 people. But the reality is also that the internet has such vast coverage across the world. I mean, everybody in so many people in every nation now are online in some way, that you have this capacity to, if you're good enough, reach a huge amount of people. So I would say that we are not going for, we're not looking to be kind of an online super ministry purely for the, purely for the glory of being of dominating on the internet. We want to be there for the people who need us. But there is also a sense that we want to grow our audience. I mean, we do very strongly want to grow our audience because we feel that actually what we have to offer is important. And what we have to offer is not just important in terms of ministry, but I'm hoping that other people will see what we're doing and think, I've got an idea about how I could move into ministry online as well, and they've achieved it, so why can't I? Or someone might look at our show and say, hey, you know what, I like what they're doing, but I can do it 100 times better, and then they go out and they do it 100 times better. I don't really mind, and I think for all of us, we're not in this for ourselves, we're in this because we think this is what God is doing within the church, and we're just trying to be faithful to that.
And you can find out more about TGI Monday by visiting www.tgimonday.show. Thy Kingdom Come is the name of the Archbishop's call for a great wave of prayer for evangelism during Pentecost. We caught up with Emma Buchan, who is leading the project, to find out more about what is planned.
Thy Kingdom Come is a call for a week of prayer from the 8th to the 15th of May, which is leading up to Pentecost in 2016.
And so why are the archbishops calling on every church member to pray over Pentecost?
Well, throughout history, any movement of the Holy Spirit to draw increasing numbers to faith in Christ has always begun in prayer, with prayer. And even if you go back 2,000 years, when Jesus was just before he went to heaven, ascended to heaven, he told his disciples to wait. And when he descended to heaven, they went back to Jerusalem, and in Acts 1:14, it says this, all these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. So historically, between Ascension and Pentecost, as we can learn from the apostles, they were constantly praying. And Jesus had said to them that when they'd received the Holy Spirit, that he would send them out as witnesses. So for us, we really want to encourage and enable and stimulate prayer for evangelism and witness. We really want to encourage people to deepen their own relationship with Jesus so that they have the confidence to share our faith and that all may respond to the call of Jesus Christ to follow him.
So what's actually going to be happening in the week leading up to Pentecost?
Oh, there's a huge, huge number of things happening across the Church of England. Emails have been flowing into us from far and wide, from parishes, from a really wide range of traditions, from urban town centres to rural parishes. So you have things, we've got 24/7 prayer happening in parishes and across deaneries and ecumenically. And sometimes people are doing 24/1 or even 12/1. Often we're finding that they're partnering together, which is wonderful to see people coming together to pray together. We're hearing a huge number of special prayer services and prayer walking events. Many, many churches are opening their doors and putting prayer stations around and using a lot of the resources which you find on www.thykingdom.co.uk. Quite a few Anglo-Catholic churches are doing an hour before the Blessed Sacrament. The Novena booklet, which is really very much to encourage people to come closer and deepen their relationship with God, has been incredibly popular. And that is a beautiful resource for between Ascension and Pentecost, where there's a picture which has been painted by an amazing artist and a reflection and Bible reading. That has been incredibly, incredibly popular. The Pray for Five leather bands. So the idea is that people take a leather band and they tie five knots in it, and each knot represents someone they want to come to know Jesus better, or there's someone they just want to pray for, and it's just a reminder for them to pray regularly for those people. They've been so incredibly popular, we've actually run out and we've had to find a new source of leather. So many cathedrals which aren't actually involved in the Beacon events as well, which are happening on the Sunday of Pentecost and on the Saturday at St Paul's, are also getting involved and holding special services. So there's a huge range of things happening across England.
So that sounds like an amazing set of resources that are available to people. What prayer ideas for children, young people and families are going to be shared?
There's some resources which should be up on the website now for ideas for families and households. So there's Pray with Stones, and again, it's thinking of five people, friends, family or neighbours, you want to come to know Jesus, and they write their names on a smooth stone using it like a Sharpie pen, and place them in your house somewhere which is really obvious, somewhere where you'll see them every day, and encourage the whole family, every time they see them, to pick up a stone and hold it and pray for that person. Or pray with Scrabble letters. Use Scrabble letters to create a name puzzle of the people you want to pray for. And as each name is formed, pray, Lord Jesus, we pray that Stephen may come to know you. Or praying with Lego, on each side of a piece of Lego, write the name of someone you want to pray for. And each time you pray for that person, put another piece of Lego on top to create of the name, to create a prayer tower. It kind of symbolizes how often you're praying for them. Or paper prayer change. Cut out several strips of colored paper, and on each strip, write the name for someone to pray for. Either tape or staple the strips together to form a team. Each time you pray for that person, put a tick beside the name. There's so many resources, actually. There's more than what I've just said. And the other thing is, I mean, I know, for instance, in one parish where they've agreed and committed to do 24/7 prayer across the deanery, they've now invited the school to partner with them in this, encouraging children, if they would like to come across and be part of that 24/7 prayer. And within that, they will be having all these different resources to enable the children to have to pray in a way which is suitable for them and the way that they understand and a way that is relatable to them. So sometimes people will pray and put a name on a leaf and hang it on a tree as symbolic to think of that person.
So how can parishes get involved?
Parishes can get involved in whatever way is perfect for their context. So if you are in a rural parish and you have been already doing prayer walking, how can you incorporate that into Thy Kingdom Come? Can you put prayer stations out about the Lord's Prayer? Can you invite your can you open the doors of your church and invite people to come in and set up a sign-up sheet at the back where people commit to praying for half an hour or an hour, and maybe you can work across the churches in your area so between you can cover 24 hours or even a week of prayer. There's prayer meeting ideas on the website. There's prayers for young people, praying for young people, and prayers for young people to be able to engage and come closer to Jesus. There's the Novena of Prayer booklet. It's a booklet you can download for free or you can purchase. I think it's £1 a copy, which is pretty much done at cost from CPO. And that is a beautiful resource you can give out to every member of your congregation. The Praying for Five, committing to praying for five people whom you love or whom you know or whom God is simply putting on your heart for you to pray for, to come to know the love of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. On the website, again, you can buy 10 prayer bands for £3, and it's a really easy and simple way to start regularly praying for people. There's a film on the website from Pete Gregg, and he talks of this person called D.L. Moody, and he, throughout his life, committed to praying for 100 of his friends. And by the time he died, 96 of those people had given their lives to Christ. At his funeral, the last four gave their lives to Christ. We really believe in the power of prayer, and we really want to encourage all of you to encourage all those people within your congregations to start praying regularly for those people they love. Other ways, there's a prayer outline which is suitable for home groups or a church prayer meeting, and there's some resources for parish retreats, for quiet days, and the school of prayer. Within the school of prayer, there's lots of different ways of listening in silence and stillness and multi-sensory prayer and praying with music, which will encourage your congregations, encourage the people in your church to find new ways of praying. And finally, there's some liturgical resources to be used within your church. There's collects, there's intercessions, there's the hour of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, and there's special prayers for youth in cathedrals.
Remember to visit www.thykingdom.co.uk to stay up to date with the latest news. Finally this week, we talked to Martha Wetherill, a first-year ordinand at St Stephen's House in Oxford, who spoke about her vocation to ordained ministry in advance of Vocation Sunday this weekend.
Because of the way I was brought up, where God was always in the centre of everything we did, I sort of stopped attending church when I came to the UK. I just wanted, because it was more a case of my parents' God and not really my God. But after about 4 years or so, I found myself back in the church, and I loved the welcome that I received there. And I just started attending and loving it very much. I've always served doing one thing or the other in the church. But I always saw myself as someone who was going to graduate and get a job in the city somewhere as an accountant. I studied accounting and mathematics. But ordination was a more gradual thing. It started 4 years ago when I was serving in a care home. And a lady said to me, one of the residents in the care home said to me, "Oh, thank you so much for the Holy Communion service. Without this, we wouldn't get access to the church or have communion." At that point, I felt like a switch was turned on, as if the Lord was saying to me that this was my destiny, this was what I was born to do. That's how it started.
You were already very involved in the church at that point that you spoke to this resident in the care home.
Yes, I was. But I never saw myself as a priest or an ordained worker. I just thought I would just serve as I was always doing, even back at home.
And this was the turning point for you, speaking to this woman resident.
Indeed it was, because then I felt like there was a nod saying, this is your calling. And but because my husband was not a believer as such, he would attend church on special occasions, I did not feel that it was realistic to put myself forward or even think in that line, because it would probably, I thought, be a case of me serving in the church and my husband not being part of it. And that was what I said to myself, and I just didn't think about it anymore. But interestingly, 2 weeks later, my husband said to me, "Oh, do you know what? I'd like to start coming to church with you." And Jonathan started attending church with me and our little girl. And a few months later, he got baptized. So it seemed that obstacle had been sorted out by the Lord.
What did you do next after you'd had this chat with the woman in the care?
I contacted my vicar, and we had a meeting at the vicarage, and I told her what had been happening and what I had been thinking and the knowledge I had been getting from the Lord. And she said, "Well, good, we need to do something about it." And so she appointed me as the parish assistant of St. John's Church, Maids, Eastbourne, so that we could test the waters and see if this was the Lord and if this was the right step. She also contacted the DDO at Chichester Diocese, and I met with him, and we started the discernment process informally at the time. He also asked if I was interested in going to a vocations conference, a minority ethnic vocations conference that was about to take place at the time. This was March 2014. And so I did go to the vocations conference.
Can you tell us a bit about the impact of going to that conference and what sort of support was provided to you?
It was really great. I enjoyed it very much. In fact, the truth is, because I wasn't really sure, I was still hesitant about the calling and being in the process, I thought going there would make me think, oh, maybe this isn't for me or something. But I came out of the conference feeling equipped and enabled. I felt like this was what God wanted me to do, you know. All the obstacles I had put in my head were just taken away. And I saw several other priests, vicars, black and white, and I was encouraged. I also met a lady that I got on very well with, and she became my mentor, a black female vicar in London. I'm still in touch with some of the inquirers as well. And I came out of there thinking, this is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to knock at the door and see what happens.
What did you do next after that?
I still had to do the discernment process. So I worked with my ADDO for about 12 months during the process, and I started doing other things in the diocese as well as in the church, and the Lord opened the door for me to be a DLP, which is a diocesan link person in Chichester Diocese. And my main role really was to network with the black ethnic minority people in Chichester and just to be part of what the Lord is doing in the Church of England as a whole.
Do you have any message for minority ethnic Anglicans who might be considering an ordained vocation?
If you're considering it, please knock on the door, because whatever the case might be, the Lord has called all of us in baptism, and it's only when you've tried to knock and find out that you would know what your calling is. The church is a beautiful place to be in, beautiful people, and I think the Lord is doing something great in the Church of England today and in the future, and let's all be part of it.
That's it for this week. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @C_of_E and like our Facebook page to stay up to date with news during the week. Thanks for listening.